Yeah, yeah.
Let us begin this service by singing number 60. The stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 60. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, who put me not to shame before triumphant foes. Number 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. First, we will read to you the law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Further, we will read to you from God's holy word, the epistle of Paul to the Romans, the fourth chapter, Romans 4. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. And the father be them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who are also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now first we read the form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we without children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, in so much that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to look and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification, salvation without ourselves. Secondly, the holy baptism witnesses and seals unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopt us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son seals unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation of Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, Genesis 17, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after the inner generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifies with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was the seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel to the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing the cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last they may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. I request you to arise and to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized? Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testament and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation? Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are fathers and mothers, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein, to the utmost of your power what is your answer. The Lord, parents, has blessed you in your married life for the first time and by renewing with children. They are in accordance to what the Lord said in his word, an inheritance of the Lord. A great blessing in our married life, but you shall well find out, parents, and somewhere more than one already, you shall well find out in your life what a continually cares that our children gives us. That is when they are young, and that is also when they are growing up continually. The dangers are so great and so manifold, but that is only outwardly. Inwardly, that is something else. Our children, they are created for eternity. And the time is coming that parents and children, that they shall appear before the Lord to give an account what we have done without children, and what our children have done also with their baptism, because that is laying for each and every one. Baptism, that is a seal and a sign of the covenant of grace, and that baptism, that water in baptism, that refers to the blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood that washes and cleanses us from all our sins, and how to need that in our life for ourselves, parents, but also for our children. And then if we think about eternity, Friday evening, Friday night, two boys, 17 years old, in one of our congregation, died in accident. Tuesday we have to bury one of them, if the Lord spared us. And then eternity, and then so from the road, to appear before the Lord the Most High. What a thought. Oh, what a thought. And now the necessity in our life for parents and children, for all of us, that we are washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope, parents, that you lay time and again on your knees before the Lord. I hope so. I think many times we must lay all the time there. In regard to all the needs and wants laying upon us, and then there is not one in the world that can help us, but it is only the Lord that can deliver us. I hope, parents, that your children grow up to the gladness of your heart, that they never step upon your heart, and that by growing up, that they stay with the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And that the Lord, out of free and sovereign grace, that the Lord will give them a name and a place better than of sons and of daughters, confirming what we shall sing after baptism, 868, he who walks in godly fear, in the path of truth shall go, peace shall be his portion here, and his sons all good shall know, 68, 3 and 4. God, Richard, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Here James, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Evelyn M., I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Susan Elizabeth, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now we conclude this baptism with thanksgiving and ask the Lord of the blessing upon our gathering. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thy only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to cover these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. That they may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folly fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Lord, that it may please thee, out of free and sovereign grace, to confirm this holy sacrament by the Holy Spirit to the hearts of those young children. It was in the way of thy providence that they came into this world. And if we come into this world, we have to go through the world, one longer than the other. But the time is coming that we have to leave this world. And between our grave and our grave, we must be reconciled with God, washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And otherwise it is lust, lust forever. Lord, have mercy upon these children. Also one that is not with us this morning on account of sickness, and another one entered into this world in this last week. Lord, we commend all those children at the throne of grace. Look upon them in mercy and in compassion. From ourselves we never shall do it, but that one-sided work glorified in the heart of those children. And remember also the parents, bind them at the throne of grace. They have answered those questions in this morning, and it is heard not only here in this congregation, but it is heard in the ears of the Lord Sabaoth in heaven. Lord, that it never shall testify against these parents, that they baptize their children time and again with their tears, and that they together were bound at the throne of grace with all the needs and with all the wants, that they were not brought up for the Moloch of the world, but in the fear of thy holy name. Be mindful of thy covenant with all of us. Look upon us from on high, also in this day. Another Sabbath day is given unto us, the second of the new year already. We fly away. O Lord, open in this Sabbath day thy word and testimony. We have no key to do it, but thou hast to do it, and thou art willing to do it. Thou hast said in thy word, open wide thy mouth, and I will satisfy it. That law and gospel, life and death, blessing and curse, came from this pulpit, and that it applied by the Holy Spirit, that it bears fruit that shall remain and stay with us forever and forever. comfort the uncomforted, and those who are comforted, oh, that they become uncomforted, and that we are beckers at the throne of grace, for that grace revealed in Christ Jesus, in the substitute, representative of the church, where he was also circumcised when he was 8 days here in this world, and that not for himself but for his church. Oh, that we are included in it, and that the foreskin of our heart was taken away by the Holy Spirit, and thy law was written in our heart to walk in thy ways and in thy precepts. Bless thy word for thy people, also in this Sabbath day. Sanctify it to their heart, and that, coming to this place and sitting under thy word, that it be to the rejoicing of their heart, to the glorification of Christ, and to the honor and the praise of the triune God. Those that cannot gather with us, so many, in the different hospitals and other places, remember them in mercy in this day. Visit them in thy favor and in thy love. And may thy word precious also in the homes for those that cannot come up under thy word, also in the different places where they are living. We commend them at thy throne with all thy people, with all thy servants, with all the missionaries. Remember each and every one. Grant unto us also thy blessing, that we may speak in the power of the Most High God, thy eternal word in the midst of the congregation. Help and strengthen us, and that the prayers of thy people accompany us in our labors and work. Remember widows, orphans and widows. Remember all those that are in bereavement, in our church and outside of it, and in different places. We commend them all at thy throne. Sanctify thy dealings. Remember the boys in the service and in Vietnam. Look upon each and every one. After the multitude of thy mercies in thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, those that return back from the hospital, give them together an heart to acknowledge thee and be with all of us, with the pardoning and remission of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. For the building fund, each service this day, number 215. O come, my people, to my law and what follows. 215. Thank you. Beloved congregation, it is very clear in the Word of God that the sacraments, they have a great place as well in the Old as in the New Testament. We read in Genesis already about circumcision. And in Exodus, in the second book of Moses, about the Passover. And time and again, you can realize that the Lord, also in the Old Testament, that he came back to what he has instituted. And that is also in the New Testament where we read about baptism and the Lord's Supper. In general, there are very little thoughts about it. That is also with baptism. Many times, for many people, when their baptism is done, then it is also done in their mind. In the heart, there is nothing of it, most of the time. But even in our mind, then how important that those sacraments are, there are very few that is thinking about. For so many are the sacraments empty. And that is not today, no. That is not today only. I found yesterday in a sermon of Lodestein, he had lived in 1600, that man, a great light in the church, and that many spoke also over the neglecting of the sacraments, that also in his time that there were so many that came to the Lord's table without any knowledge of the way of salvation. And still, we do not believe as the Roman Church that the sacraments are necessary to salvation and that they are leading men to salvation. No. But nevertheless, we have to respect them and we have to honor them as the institutions of the Lord, and to consider the great value of these sacraments. He hoped to hear something about it this morning out of my text. My text that is in Luke 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Thus far. We have to talk this morning about the circumcision and sizing of Christ. The first question that we have to answer, of course, is, was the circumcision necessary for Christ himself? And then we have to say no. No. Why not? Because Christ was without original and without actual sin. That was entirely different as with all mankind in this world, because you read by Job 14 verse 4, who shall give unclean out of an unclean? And then the answer that is not one. And in Psalm 51, that David confessed that he was born in sin and conceived in iniquity. We are all sinners, but that was not so with Christ. He never had the sin of Adam imputed to him. And he also, in regard to actual sin, he could say in the midst of his enemies, who convinces me of sin? And amongst all the enemies who were there gathered in that time, there was even not one who could brought in anything against him. He was without sin, because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And in that respect, he was standing outside of the sin of Adam. But nevertheless, he was made to sin. And that as a surety of his people who had obliged himself in eternity to pay for all the sins of his people. In that respect, congregation, in that respect also as the substitute and representative of all men? No. No. The representative of his church. Paul in Romans 5, he made a distinction there. He placed there two persons. And that was first Adam, but also afterwards Christ. And then he declares there that all those that belong to Adam, that they are dead. But all those that belong to Christ, that shall live. Thus there is a difference. There is a distinction. The remonstrants, Socinians, and Armenians, that is all people that honor the doctor of general redemption. But the Reformed doctrine, that is different, that is the personal redemption through Christ, that they receive by the power of the Holy Spirit, personally. Christ came not in the world for everybody. No. He came in the world for his people, for his congregation, for his children. One of our English writers, a man with the name of Hammond, he died when he was 30 years old, that man. But he wrote in his dogmatic that the offer of grace that come to all that comes under it, but the promise of grace that is for God's people. The people that lays in God's heart and counsel from all eternity. They were chosen by the Father, and the Father gave them in the hand of his Son. The Son has accepted that people with joy and with gladness. But, and now it comes, and I hope that I can explain it so simple to all of you that there is no question, that there is no doubt about that doctrine. When Christ accepted his people out of the hand of his Father, then he accepted. And all the grief and all the hurt. But in accepting that, mark well to it, was it necessary that in the fullness of time that second person in the Holy Trinity, that he took upon him our human nature, with all the infirmities and with all the wretchedness that we brought upon ourselves in our deep fall in Adam. And now Christ had accepted that for his people willingly, because it was the will of the Father to redeem that people, to save that people, to restore that people in fellowship and communion with God, and especially, and that this congregation, even that you become 1,000 years old in the world, but on the foreground of our Reformed doctrine, lays the honor and the glory of a triune God. Not our salvation, that is well connected with it, but the greatest purpose that is the armor of the Lord and the glorification of all his attributes. Oh, therefore, people, if you learn the doctrine, our Reformed doctrine, and the Lord gives something of it in our heart, then we shall love it with all that is in us. And then we shall realize that we are saved only by grace. Only by grace, people. If, humanly speaking, if I and you, or you and I, if we have to add it one tear and one thought and one sigh and one cry to our salvation, as ground, then it was all done. Then it was all done. The way to heaven, people, that is a way that leads backwards. Backwards. And in us, there is nothing than death and destruction. But in Psalm 36, verse 10, by thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light. That is it. And now we can talk about the circumcision of Abraham, Samuel, all the people in the olden days. But that is not the main point. The main point for the old church people, and when 8 days were accomplished, for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Circumcision, that was something that was known in the world already before that the Lord had instituted it. That means there were heathens round about who have also circumcision already, but not with that purpose as that the Lord instituted it in the days of Abraham. Those heathens, the Egyptians and all other people, they have circumcision. And even in our country, the history said that it is that they have found out that it is even so old as that they have heard about the country here. That it was years and years before that somebody knew that this country was in the world and belonged to the world, then they have also circumcision already. I found yesterday the name of America also mentioned amongst the nations and the people that had exercised. But out of a viewpoint of health. But now the circumcision, as you read in the days of Abraham, that was, of course, a seal and a sign of the covenant, of grace. It was not the covenant itself, no, but a sign and a seal of the covenant. Abraham, he was 99 years old when he was circumcised. And then that circumcision that was an engrafting in Israel. That was the first thing, an engrafting in Israel. Therefore, the Lord commanded his people that they must be circumcised. Otherwise, if they neglected that circumcision, then they were placed outside of the camp. And the Lord would punish them when they neglected circumcision. Circumcision was also a separation from the world of the heathens. The Lord, he made himself a separation. But the main thing that was, that circumcision was a referring to the circumcision of our heart. The Lord, he said in Jeremiah 4, verse 4, that our heart must be circumcised. And that the foreskin must be taken away. That means our original sin. The sin that cleaves unto us. And that is imputed to us from Adam. Abraham, we have heard that this morning by the reading of Romans 4, that the foreskin was taken away in Ur of the Chaldean when the Lord had called him. And after that, that was taken away, then that circumcision that was a seal and a sign of the covenant for him. Thus, in other words, congregation, we have to realize that we must be first circumcised of heart. And then the covenant can have value for our soul. In Israel, all the people were circumcised. Otherwise, they were cut off. So strict had the Lord taken that in under the law of Moses. But that means not that now all that people that were circumcised outwardly, that they were circumcised inwardly. And all those that now are circumcised inwardly, that is the result and that is the fruit of the circumcision of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that I now can say it simple to you. If Christ was not circumcised as a substitute, a representative of his church, there was for no sinner any hope for eternity. Thus the circumcision of Abraham and of Obadiah and of Moses and all that other people, that falls all away, people. But the circumcision of Christ, where he had submitted himself to death under the law, death opened the full way of salvation for a sinner. Therefore, I shall only mention a few things because the time is short this morning. But the suffering of Christ that started when he came in the world, does not in the Garden of Gethsemane and Gabbatha and Golgotha, no, but the suffering started already when he came in the world, because the circumcision was a painful operation. And with circumcision, then there was the people that lose blood. And now when Christ was circumcised, at the 8th day, as the surety of the church, then that fountain of his precious blood that was opened for the church of God. So you have to look to the whole suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to think about what took place on Calvary's cross. There he cried out as surety, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken by God, not by his father, but forsaken by God. Because even that he was forsaken of God as yet, then still he remained the son of his good pleasure, the son of his eternal love. Therefore, in the Garden of Gethsemane, to enter to his father, that was never close the entrance. No. He said, my father, if it is possible to take away that cup from me, but thy will be done. And now when you see Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary, then he is hanging there as a curse. You read that so clear in Galatians 3, where the Apostle Paul refers to nobody than only to Christ, that he said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And now, congregation, now in the circumcising of Christ, there is the opening of salvation, and not only the opening of salvation, but the assurance of salvation for the whole church of God. Because he, the Lord Jesus, he had done everything that was necessary to take away the obstacles out of the way. The wrath of God, the curse of the law, the mountains of all our sins and of all our iniquities. And he had done that for the whole church. And not only he had done that, but he had done that perfectly, willing. I have desire, it is my delight. You read that in Psalm 40, my delight to do the will of God. He never murmured against it, no. He did never open even his mouth. As a lamb was led to the slaughter, so he did not open his mouth. You read that in Isaiah 53. And now the Lord had taken away all the iniquities of his people. And by his streams, by his stripes, we are healed. This Christ suffering that started already with circumcision. And he ended his suffering on the cross of Calvary where he declares it is finished. Where in other words that he brought it to an end. And now in heaven at the right hand of his Father, he applies that to his people and to his children. And now we must also be circumcised. That means inwardly. Circumcised. And now, what is now the conclusion this morning? That there shall be never one body converted without pain and without sorrow. No. Not one. One more than the other, and one deeper than the other. But for all God's people, is it in the word of God, those that sow with tears, that shall reap with joy. Only acknowledge thy iniquities that thou hast sinned against the Lord. And if we are now circumcised inside people, oh, the Lord, he said by the prophet Ezekiel, that he shall take away that heart of stone, because that is stony by nature. But he shall give him an heart of flesh. And they shall walk in his ways. That is the result of it. How love I the law, say is my meditation all the day, said David. All the days. We shall show that in our life. And now that circumcision, that was not only to take that foreskin away, but to dedicate that people unto the Lord. And it is for God's church the same thing. It is not the main thing only that our sins shall be forgiven, but also that we are restored in the communion and fellowship with the Lord. That we receive in life that Christ hath merited, that is wrought by us in our heart by the Spirit, and that lives, that life that lives in communion with God. In one of our souls it is in sweet communion, Lord, with thee. And as soon as the Lord had circumcised us inside, then from that time on, people, there is a desire in our heart, there is a longing in our soul for the communion with the Lord. If we are missing that, then we are not in our element. No. Then our life that is in unrest. But as soon as the Lord come in our heart, he speaks to our soul, he smiles to us, we may live in his communion for a while, then it is a different person at all, really. That old people years ago that have any different expressions, and they say sometimes, they say, if the Lord is good to his people, even the cat and the dog he can realize it. And this true, of course, one have, the other people that have a nice character, at least I think so, did not meet me, my character is not so nice, but there is people that have, I would say, a very soft character, and yeah, seems that they have no troubles, never. Never. But of course we step that more over. But now, if the Lord comes, then he take all the obstacles away here in our hearts. He filled that heart with the love of God. And then we are friendly, and then we are humble, and then you can do everything with that boy. Everything that that man said of that woman said, I want that, it was always so. Then we have a nice life. But it is not always so. No. As long as we are here in Meshach and in the tent of Kedar, but the circumcision of heart, God's people, they need that time and again. Till that they die, they need it. Because that old man, that shall be laid up when they die, people. When the Lord take his people up in glory, then he shall deliver Israel from all their iniquities. But now you can realize where the foundation is in Christ, in his mediatorial work. Where it is in him, as the surety and the substitute for his church. There is also the assurance that soon at the end of the world, at the end of their life, that they shall be delivered from all their iniquities. And then when they found out that it is only in him and through him, through that Christ, then they shall exalt him in the highest heavens. They shall glorify and they shall honor him. And they shall call him as Jesus, because he delivered from the guilt, he delivered from the pollution, he delivered from the dominion, and he delivered from the results of sin. And that is when they walk on the other side. When they walk in that new heaven, in that heavenly Jerusalem. When they shall glorify God there forever and forever. There's only few words, there's much more, but we have to stop for this moment. May the Lord bless it to our soul. We are travelers to eternity, people. Travelers to eternity. We don't know the day and the hour of our death. We are still sitting here this moment, under the preaching of the word of God, an opportunity to be comforted. An opportunity to be comforted. Harden not your heart, people. Be not indifferent. But that you are realized that the Lord in his tender mercy, that he is making, that he is laying so much labor upon you, that he is calling you by his word and testimony. He has so many callings and admonitions. And then we must say, Lord, why am not I, that in the week that lay behind us with fire and with accidents, and it's so in so many other ways, so many people that is taken away, killed in that hotel there in Louisiana. Oh, then you must say, Lord, what makes the distinction? What makes the distinction? The mercy of the Lord that he prolonged our life, people. That he has prolonged our life. That it be not to our to a judgment for us, people, but that the Lord sanctify it to our heart, where it is still the time of grace and the time to be comforted. Boys and girls, oh, when you step in your cars, ask the Lord, that he protects you for accidents. Ask the Lord that he prevents you for sin. Ask the Lord that he not take you away unreconciled and unprepared. But that the seriousness of life and the reality of eternity was bound upon your heart and upon your soul. Tomorrow we have to bear it, one of God's children. And Tuesday, that boy, oh, what a difference. Because we have to know something in our life, people. We have to know something. There has to be something in our heart. And to die as we were born, what shall it terrible, terrible, to fall in the hands of a living God. And then all our own fault. Our own fault, the Lord, he said, what is there to do more to my vineyard than that I have done? That it humble us. And that our life be in the fear of God's name. Oh, that we ask the Lord to open our blind eyes, to see our sins and iniquities, but also to reveal unto us that mediator and that savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be reconciled with God through his blood and his righteousness. And finally, O children of God, what are the exercising of circumcision inside in our heart and in our soul, that we need it more and more to walk in the ways of God's precepts. And as in preparation for that land, for that country, where no inhabitant would say, I am sick, because the people that is there, that shall have forgiveness of all their iniquities. Amen. Lord, bless the few words of this morning. Sanctify it to the hearts of the congregation, young and old, great and small, and to our own heart and soul. Be with us further in this morning. Remember all those from our consistory that shall instruct the use of our church. Lord, give them wisdom and understanding, and the children make them attentive. Remember us in this afternoon and evening, in all the labors that laid upon us, oh Lord, gladden our heart in this day. Speak to our soul. A crumb fallen from this master's table, to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be glad with him and in him and through him, and that to the honor and the glory of a triune God, with the pardoning of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 142. God be merciful to me, and thy grace I rest my plea, and what follows. 142. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.